Welcome, 80s fans. Don't touch that dial. For the newer generation, that means don't change the station, or podcast, or program. You get what I'm trying to say. Put your children to sleep. Just for the night, I mean. Gosh dang it, with this new society, did I need to clarify everything I say? Damn it. Get a nice beverage. Get cozy. Turn down the light. And get ready to get scared out of your
mind. No, you can't say that.
No.
No.
No, they're not going to get scared?
No, it's a fun kind of show.
Oh. Oh, it's a fun show. Oh. Damn it. Don't go to the bathroom alone. Don't even get up to go to the fridge. And don't think about going to sleep because I will find you.
No, we're not doing that tonight.
No?
You're not finding anybody. You're not hurting anybody.
We're not doing that either on this show.
No.
I'm not finding anyone. I'm not going to do anything to anybody.
No. It's for a new movie promotion. It's going to be funny. You're going to have a good time.
That's for an upcoming movie. I see. Damn it. Well, great show. I guess this is going to be some kind of a Halloween program then. Gee, how fun. All right, well, enjoy your show. Back to the 80s radio. Sounds like fun. Ooh.
Welcome, everybody, to the one and only Back to the 80s Radio, the greatest radio show about the 80s on the entire earth. That's right. You know it. I know it. We all know it. There is no other 80s radio show like ours. And with me is a man who has not shaved his goatee since 1981. He hasn't cut 1 inch of his hair since the Rolling Stones started touring.
Pubic, but here, neither.
Here at Back to the 80s Radio, we call him the ever-wondrous Chang. Chang, welcome to the pre-Halloween extravaganza here at Back to the 80s Radio.
Toscano, by far your costume this year terrifies the shit out of me. Please.
Why?
I must look away from the monitor.
Why does my costume scare you? There's no reason my costume should scare you.
Well, anytime you come out looking like Robert Smith.
Robert Smith, no.
I think of the movie Saw and that little creature on the tricycle. And he is sponsoring Target. It scares the crap out of me. I got to say, you did a hell of a bang-up job moosing your hair up. Having your son's, put Noxzema on your face. The red lipstick that you added, you're dead on. You could probably lead the band in that costume.
I was going to be coming dressed for Halloween. I was going to be Beretta, Robert Blake, for Halloween.
That's a bad Halloween costume.
It's a very bad Halloween costume.
It's like a vegan going as Jeffrey Dahmer.
You know what? I guess you're kind of right. Anyway, thank you guys for joining us on this pre-Halloween show here at Back to the 80s. So a big shout out to everybody listening from all over the United States, from Mexico, Canada, Central and South America, everywhere around the globe, Europe, the Middle East, Asia, I mean Australia, everywhere that you listen to Back to the 80s Radio. We want to thank you guys.
All our lovely Halloween listeners, so you're probably waiting, maybe like we're going to give you a trick or a treat. Tonight's show is going to be both. Is it not, Toscano? A trick, a treat, but never do we repeat. We've got, yes, the Chang has his top 10 Halloween movies and their producers list. We also have some ass-kicking 80s music in tribute to the fine holiday of Halloween.
We have great stories to talk about. We've got movies to talk about. We've got music. By the way, little caveat here, if you do want to hear the music in its entirety, the only way you can do it is by listening to khits925.com. That's khits925.com. And click on play. You'll be able to hear it only at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Other than that, you can hear it on all podcasting platforms at any time after Friday. At any time.
You are listening to Back to the 80s Radio with Toscano and Chang on our Halloween extravaganza from LA's so-called bad boys, Motley Crue with Live Wire. You are on the hang with Toscano and Chang.
Motley Crue with Live Wire on Back to the 80s Radio and K-Hits 92.5. This is the pre-Halloween show here at Back to the 80s. And to kick it all off, Chang, I know that you have a very special list. One of the things that distinguished the 80s was our, although there were some really nice costumes, but they tended to be the more expensive, people could not afford those costumes sometimes. So we would end up buying our costumes at either Thrifty's, mm-hmm. Toys R Us, Zodi's, mm-hmm. Gemco, or even Fedco. All these stores that offered less expensive items. And the costumes were made out of plastic. The masks were plastic that had just a little string in the back that was kind of like the happy birthday hats. Well, yes. That's what held your mask. By the time you were finished trick-or-treating, you lost about 12 pounds.
You know the funny thing? You never saw a crackhead trick-or-treating. I need some candy, but not that kind of candy.
So, I know that you brought a list, Chang, that you want to share with everybody about costumes, and I'm interested to find out what kind of costumes you're talking about.
Well, you know what? As we all know, as children, we enjoyed costumes, dressing up, putting on makeup. Halloween costumes, every time you go out, you want to kind of surpass what you did the year before, or be the hit of the party or the extravaganza that you are going to go to when you decide to pick your costume. I have a couple of lists here, okay, for the top costumes for both male and females in the adult range when going to a party. Are you ready for the males?
Ready when you are, man. This is exciting.
Number 5, the Wolfman. Number 4, Jack Sparrow. Number 3, Tarzan. Number 2, a rock star. Number 1 costume for men to look sexy is a male stripper police officer.
Okay. So the full police officer costume that comes off really easy. I, on two occasions...
Which one have you worn?
On two occasions, my mom and dad, when back in the 80s, did get me, I'm talking about maybe 1980, 1981, I did get two very expensive costumes. One was a custom-made Superman costume, and one was a custom-made all-satin Zorro costume. So I was dressed just like Zorro. I still keep that costume, put it on from time to time.
You know what? I, too, love to pretend I'm Zorro or Evil Knievel. That's in the bedroom. Are you ready for another kind of a naughty list?
Oh.
For the ladies.
A naughty list. Oh, you mean like just a naughty costume list?
A naughty costume list.
Okay.
And we're going to go with 10. Here is number 10, the naughty nurse costume.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I can't breathe. All of a sudden, I can't breathe. Number 9, the Playboy bunny. Can I have your order?
Now, I got to tell you, Chang, back in the 80s when you saw somebody wearing that a woman wearing that Playboy costume, that was a special moment for a guy.
Oh, yes. But you know what can't beat it? Number 8, the sexy police officer.
No, I'll take the Playboy bunny all the way.
Just beat me. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Number 7. Thank you for flying with so-and-so Airways.
Oh.
My name is Amanda. How can I help you?
Oh.
A stewardess. Are you ready for number 7?
Yep.
She is in a league of justice. Wonder Woman.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now that, my friend, it was a great costume. And if they can sport it.
And are you ready for number 6?
Yep.
Did you order room service? I am your maid, Francois Jacques. Number 5. Oh. Do you believe in swimming in the sea with us, mermaids?
Oh, a mermaid,
oh,
yes.
Baby.
Right.
Oh, and number 4, everybody's favorite witchy poo, the naughty witchy. Takes me back to the days when I dated some witches. And number 3 is a go-go dancer from the 1960s.
Oh, now see, that'll work.
Oh, my mom was a go-go dancer. Number 2. Everybody's favorite superhero vixen, a bad girl against Batman. She almost had her clamps down on the old bat nut. Everybody's favorite woman, the cat woman. And yes, if you believe in fairies or Peter Pan or Pinocchio, then number 1 is going to be your very own fairy princess. And that is a top 10 outrageously slutty costumes of all time.
Well, if you have an idea for a costume, or you're going to be wearing a cool costume or even a slutty costume or whatever it is that you're going to be wearing, go ahead and send us a little note here through our Facebook page or through our email, which is back2@gmail.com, and let us know what costume you're going to be sporting on Monday for Halloween. Let's take a little breather here. We've got more Back to the 80s Radio. When we come back, this is Rockwell with Somebody's Watching Me.
And now, back to the 80s with Toscano and Chang.
Welcome back from Rockwell. This is none other than Back to the 80s Radio with the Halloween extravaganza with yours truly, Toscano and Chang.
One of the things that really distinguished the 80s era, especially on Halloween, and even before Halloween, was the movies.
Yes.
We had lots of horror movies and scary movies on Halloween, and a lot of us made it a tradition that either before or throughout the day, you'd be watching scary movies for Halloween. Some people even went to the theater for Halloween.
Right.
So I thought, what better to do than to talk about some of the great A movies and B movies of the 80s. So let's kick it all off. Chang, I've got a movie from 1986 that was one of the all-time great horror movie posters. Posters, not the movie, but it had one of the greatest movie posters of all of the 80s, and it was a 1986 cult classic, which it's kind of a slasher film. Well, it was a slasher film, and the Manor House murder mystery, and it had to do with a group of college kids' weekend getaway that turned bloody when someone started picking them off. In the movie that was known as April Fool's Day. And you'll never forget that epic poster that they had. I think the poster was better than the movie, by the way.
Yeah, of course, the poster. A lot of times the poster is better than the movie, but that's the kicker. That is the drug that they use to captivate you to come and see their picture. The poster, the movie poster. Forever since movies have been created, the movie poster is the aphrodisiac to get you the movie goer.
The movie posters were just fantastic. Everybody wanted to have some type of a movie poster at some point in their life. And that just happens to be one of the epic movie posters of the entire era horror movies in the 80s.
Yes. Yes. Now, Toscano, seeing that we're talking about some great Halloween movies, you know the Chang, during his little Changtastic times, I created my top 10 great Halloween movies.
Did you really? Well,
yes,
hey, we're all ears. Let's hear it.
Me and Mrs. Chang compiled this list.
Oh, okay.
Are you ready?
So it was a group effort.
Yes. So I'm hoping that the crescendo of music or applause that I will be hearing in my own mind that you will transcribe into the show to make it sound even bolder than it is.
Right, right. Okay, we'll give it a shot.
Okay, thank you very much. Are you ready? Okay. Take a deep breath. I know you're afraid. I know you're afraid.
Yeah, I'm scared.
Scared.
Scared, yeah.
Number one has to go to... Yes, The Shining. 1980. A film made by Stanley Kubrick. A mastermind of the horror epic movie making.
It bolstered Jack Nicholson's unhinged performance.
Mm.
And he was just overwhelmingly scary in this movie.
Oh.
Probably the two scenes that I have always remembered from that movie with him. The number one scene is when he is after Shelley Duvall in the bathroom scene.
Here's Johnny!
And then the second scene when he's chasing his son in the maze.
In the snow.
In the snow.
Yeah. An epic movie. I mean, you always wondered what he was going to do at a Laker game. You know? Hey, man, I'm not digging the way you guys are fucking playing the game. Some kind of craziness. Number two is from 1982. A film by John Carpenter. Yes, some of you fans out there are familiar with the works of John Carpenter, and I'm talking about The Thing.
Oh, yes.
Huh? The title alone, and, of course, the movie poster.
Oh, who can forget
epic
that?
In itself.
A movie that is about an alien who visits and takes human shape and then coexists in them, in people, in hiding. And then the creature effects and, I mean, everything. And I'll never forget the performance by Kurt Russell.
All these movies that I'm going to mention were viewed by Mr. and Mrs. Chang with our children, our three older daughters. So they grew up enjoying the entertaining facts of horror theater, where they knew, hey, you know, it's not real, but man, it's damn crazy. Okay, are you ready for number three? Number three is probably one of the most sought after and seen, yet carried on a little bit too long, epic movies as Nightmare on Elm Street. By Wes Craven in 1984. Toscano, was that not truly scary? But do you feel the character got carried on a little bit too long?
Well, first of all, let's go with the scary. The very first time it came out, it was original. Nobody had ever dreamed, no pun intended, nobody had ever dreamed about writing a movie about a killer coming in your dreams and actually killing you in the dreams. And the character of Freddy Krueger and the story behind him, where he was a child abuser, evildoer, and then they punished him by burning him alive. It was just great writing. And if they would have just left it at one movie, two at the most, I would have been fine. But they stretched it out so far that it just became ridiculous.
Yeah.
It became, instead of one of those high-rated Hollywood horror flicks, it became nothing but a B-minus movie that Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, would probably present on a Saturday evening.
Yes.
Take a quick listen. This is the trailer.
The kids of Elm Street don't know it yet, but something is coming to get them. Nightmare on Elm Street.
No! No!
She's the only one who can stop it. If she fails, no one will survive.
Help me, please!
Wes Craven's Nightmare on Elm Street, rated R.
Now playing at a flagship theater near you.
Now, number four flies in, no pun intended, from a movie in 1986 by David Rosenberg. I'm talking the movie The Fly with Jeff Goldblum as he transforms into being like a scary-looking dude already into a fly. I'm not talking about the old version back in the 50s. I'm talking about that version. Did you see it?
I remember, and the greatest phrase from that movie is...
Want to! I'm afraid!
Don't be afraid!
No. Be afraid. Be very afraid.
And now he's the apartment guy. Who figured?
That's right. That's right.
Oh, yes. And now here, Five Cinco, An American Werewolf in London by John Landis. John Landis, he's done some, he's bounced around, I think, with the type of movies that he's created. Some nostalgically funny movies, some scary movies, some serious movies. He's got a brilliant mind. But I have to say, The American Werewolf in London, that came out in 1981, and that is probably one of my favorite werewolf movies. And I do really enjoy the werewolf movies, my brother. What did you think of that?
It was a very scary movie, but it also had a lot of humor in it, which I was never expecting to see or hear in a horror flick.
I wanted to see you.
Hi, David.
Put that down. Okay, you've seen me, now go away. I'm sorry I'm upsetting you, David, but you don't understand what's going on.
I understand, all right. You're one of the undead, and I'm a werewolf.
Yes, that's right.
Get out of here, Jack.
Tomorrow night's the full moon. You're going to change.
You never expect it, but there is humor in it, which kind of throws you off, just to ease a little bit from that tension that was built, especially, I mean, it came out in 81. This was unheard of for 81, and it was very, very scary for that time. I didn't see it until maybe a couple of years later on video rental. Of course, you know, I was little. I was about 10 years old when it came out, or 9 years
old.
Wow. 9 years old. And yeah, they wouldn't let me into the theater to see that movie. It was rated R.
Right.
But a couple years later, or a few years later, I did see it at my cousin's house because, hey, we could see everything.
You guys were probably drinking wine before, and then you drank immediately holy water because the movie scared the hell out of you Catholic boys.
You know what's interesting? That at around the same, in that same year, was another werewolf movie written by John Sayles, which it was Joe Dante's contribution to the werewolf genre in 81. And I'm talking about the movie The Howling.
Was a crazy movie, The Howling.
I think that may have been a little bit, do you think that was a little bit scarier than American Werewolf in London?
Yeah, I think it was a lot scarier. The thing that made the American Werewolf in London scary was the visual where you have him turning into a werewolf.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you take, for instance, the background of London, you know, the graveyard, the fog, just the transition. The size of him. Yeah, the comedy did kind of make it kind of a cheesy horror movie, but yet at the same time, it did break up the storyline of, is it going to get more gruesome? You know, where it was gruesome enough, but the humor kept it, I think, on the bounds of old school horror movies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A light balance where you have enough cheesiness to laugh at and enough scary ambiance that is working into the scene to hide your kids' eyes. So
I agree.
But the Howling definitely is a movie you better be aware of what you're watching before you take your kids, because it'll screw them up if they have bad dreams. Then the kids time. Will be sleeping in your room. You'll be getting no sex. And one of you will be getting mad at the other spouse going, I told you the kids shouldn't see it. You see what happens? Thank you. Thank you very much. Number 7 is Evil Dead 2. Oh, 1987, Toscano. What? Did you ever watch the Evil Dead series?
Not the series.
By Sam Raimi, no? You never did?
No, but remind me about the Evil Dead. Was this...
The character Ash, the would-be, I guess, the savior, the warrior, the slayer of all the demons.
Yeah, he was it was a comedic sort of character, right? Kind of a comedic character.
A very comedic character, yet he was the stud. He kind of looked like, I would say, he would look kind of like... Superman meets, I would say, kind of a swashbuckling cowboy type.
He kind of looked like the American Werewolf in London a little bit.
Yes,
you know,
yes. But I mean, what's good about those series is like he fights some scary looking creatures, man, some skeleton looking things, and they're just
right.
Like out of the bowels of hell. You know, the characters that they create, that this dude's that he wards off, which to me is makes this particular one and some of the other ones just as scary. It's the visual, kind of cheesy, you know what I mean? You kind of know where it's going to go.
Right.
The
right.
Handsome guy's going to kick ass, save everybody, get the hot chick, maybe. You know what I mean?
Keep in mind, I know that everybody listening, there's one or two people out there that are going, oh, they were so predictable back then. Well, yes.
Yes.
But
that's the beauty of them.
Yeah, that's part of the beauty of them. But you got to remember that when you saw this for the very first time, it wasn't predictable. You had no idea. It only became predictable when you saw more than one movie, when you saw more than one part of a movie. But if it was the first time... And there was a scene that jumped out at you, and I'll never forget, Chang, what really made scary movies scary, even more than the story, was the music behind it. Mm-hmm. The score, you know, the music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it was building up and building up and building up, and then you knew there was a portion of that sound, of that music that just, it cut off.
Mm-hmm.
And you could just hear them waiting for something, and then all of a sudden the music just pops out at you.
Yeah.
And everybody would jump from their seats. You remember that?
Yeah. Movies have changed drastically, I'd say, from the 80s era to nowadays with movies. That classic musical buildup, we hear less and less in certain movies nowadays. Number 8, I'm sure everybody out there's watched it and got freaked out. If you're into the television scene, I'm talking about 1982's Poltergeist by Toby Hooper.
Oh, yes. One of my favorite movies.
The lead character passed away in a very questionable form.
The big sister of Poltergeist was murdered. You know this, right?
Right.
So a lot of people of the film died in very questionable ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was always that legend, that urban legend that went around suggesting things happened in the spiritual realm or in the paranormal realm in that movie for mm-hmm. reals. And, you know, Steven Spielberg directing this horror flick, and it was just an incredible movie. And if you were watching it for the very first time, such as I did, and you saw that that little kid in his bed freak out when the clown disappears from his chair in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he reaches over the side of his bed and looks under his bed and gets dragged by the clown. Hands down, one of the creepiest and scariest moments in cinema horror history for me.
Oh, yeah. You could feel the hairs rise on the back of your neck. You get
yes.
that little chill. You know what I mean? It's funny because then that will carry you on to like when you're walking through your house and the lights are out. And you know what I mean? You you subconsciously think about that. Oh man, that's crazy.
Yeah, and you know what? That it was that movie that made a lot of people hate clowns from that moment on. I mean, clowns were not that popular to begin with, but after that movie,
I don't know. I think it was John Wayne Gacy that started freaking people out about clowns. Yeah, you sick fuck. Number nine, I got to tell you, back in 1988, Child's Play.
Oh, yes. Good old Chucky.
Chucky. Now, my brother-in-law, Dan, one time took our girls to the mall. And the little one, baby Jen, was like maybe 5 or 4. And, you know, she saw that movie, you know, with her at the pad one time with her sisters, and she got freaked out. Well, they went to the mall, and that doll was at KB Toys. So my brother-in-law took the doll out, and he was making it walk around for the little one. And the little one took off running and screaming through the mall. My brother-in-law had to go chase her.
Well,
get it.
Here's another movie that it's a first of its kind, you know, an evil person inhabits
a toy
out of witchcraft and by putting a spell before he gets killed. And it was a creepy, creepy movie, especially when he was after the boy. And you know what, that movie, that child actor, I mean, great kid actor. I'll never forget it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, anybody that has ever played with toys, dolls, action figures, and then, you know, sometimes you set them up before you go to sleep and they're on guard or what have you, or you sleep with dolls. You check out that movie when you're a little bit too young and you're not going to be playing with no action figures to sleep with any dolls. You know what I'm saying?
You got that right.
You're going to be burning those little monitos. Now, number 10 is none other than 1987's Hellraiser by Clive Barker.
Oh, Hellraiser. My gosh.
Oh, now, Pinhead, he's a good friend of the program. He intro'd the show today, so our hat's off.
That's right. No, that's right. It was Pinhead.
You know, we're just going ahead and poke at his celebrity.
We borrowed Pinhead. Well, since Mark and Brian are no longer here, Pinhead's still... needs a show to hang around.
Yeah, he needed a gig, so we gave him, you know. He's always good. He is always the hammer on the nail type of guy.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
He's always pinpointed sharp,
okay,
if you know what I'm talking about. You know what I mean? He's always one that you can hang on every word. Oh, my God.
All right. And who do you got for number 10? Is that number 10?
That is number 10, and that is the Mr. and Mrs. Chang's top 10 Halloween flicks of the 1980s.
That, my friend, was an excellent list. And I got to say, as we go to a quick break from the Fat Boys, this is Are You Ready for Freddy? On the one and only Back to the 80s radio show on K-Hits 92.5.
You're listening to Back to the 80s.
Back to the 80s radio, that was the Fat Boys with Are You Ready for Freddy on a fantastic pre-Halloween evening at Back to the 80s radio. Monday is Halloween here in the United States. And tell us, do you guys celebrate anything similar to Halloween if you're from another country? Let us know through our Facebook page. We would really appreciate it. Also, a reminder to leave us a review on whatever platform, whatever podcasting platform you listen to us on. It would help us out so much. Just leave us a review, long or short. We really, really appreciate it. Before the break, you actually gave us the list that you and your gal compiled of the greatest 80s horror flicks. Well, I don't have a list myself, but I do have a few honorable mentions that I want us to discuss.
Please,
and
please.
One of them from 1980, Sean Cunningham's Friday the 13th. Check this out.
I don't want to scare anyone, but I'm going to give it to you straight about Jason.
Hey, you guys, look at this.
It's Camp Blood. This place is on the same lake as we're going to be. He's still out there.
Jason.
Some sort of demented creature.
If I was you, I'd have located in the next county. Quiet for 5 years, and that's the way we want to keep it.
Legend has it that Jason saw his mother beheaded, and he took his revenge. A revenge that he'll continue to seek if anyone ever enters his wilderness again.
You know, the child dies, he's drowned, and you never expect that the killer ends up being, should I give it away? Here's a spoiler alert. So if you've never seen Friday the 13th, the original, cover your ears. Who would have thought that Jason was the mom? Did you ever expect that?
No, I never ever would have expected that, but again, we are in a change of times, so everything has to be pretty much politically correct. So why wouldn't a female be just as capable as slaughtering human beings as a male? Why? And who
That's
better
totally true. Yeah.
Than, who better than an angry mom who's got some mountain skills and been jilted other than to be Jason? What a mind twist. What an acid trip. I mean, but why not an angry mom? Who would have believed, who would have thought that Tommy's mom up the street was hacking people that came to her house? Why wouldn't you? I told you damn kids to stay away from my property. I told you damn kids.
Now, the next movie on my non-list is this one right here. Take a listen.
10 years ago, on the night of October 31st, a small Midwestern town fell victim to an escaped killer. Under the cover of darkness, he carried out the most horrifying mass murder on record. 16 people in cold blood. Ever since that night, no one has forgotten his name. And Halloween has never been the same. Michael Myers has come home. He has returned for one more night of unholy terror.
Michael!
Somebody help me!
He's here to kill that little girl and anybody who gets in his way.
Oh, God!
Who's gonna be next?
Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers.
Maybe nobody knows how to stop him.
Halloween is not your typical slasher film franchise.
No.
It all started in 1978. Once again, just like Friday the 13th from 1980, it blew audiences away and then continued to do it for a few more parts with Part 2 in 81 and Part 3. And I would say, even up to part 4, maybe, there was one version of Halloween that I disliked completely. And I think it was the one in 85, Season of the Witch, because it had nothing to do with the original slasher. I don't even think it was the real Michael Myers, and it had to do with some weird cultic people. I mean, it was just such a weird spinoff of the movie. And but like you mentioned with the Freddy Krueger movies, the Nightmare on Elm Street movies, there comes a point when it's just too much. There comes
enough
a point when
enough.
If the guy was on crack, if the guy was on meth, if the guy was possessed, come on. There was a scene there in one of the, I believe it was in the 1988, it was in the Return of Halloween, or one of those, that he got shot like 200 times. With shotguns, with pistols, with handguns, I mean, everything. And then he falls through a grave. He gets stabbed. I mean, everything happens.
Yeah.
And then you get Halloween H20, which is the 20th anniversary of Halloween, with Kathy Lee Curtis that comes out, and LL Cool J comes out. I actually liked
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Jamie Lee Curtis comes
Who's
out.
Who's Kathy Lee? Kathy Lee Gifford?
It's her cousin. And so Jamie Lee Curtis comes out in it with LL Cool J as well. I actually liked that flick.
Really?
And it should have ended there. It should have ended there. Why? Because she cuts his head off.
Right.
But what happens? No. Somewhere, that was an alternate universe. And now that everything is an alternate universe with movies, they're remaking it and remaking it and remaking it. And, I mean, it's got to stop somehow.
So what did you like about LL Cool J's portrayal in the movie?
I like it that he didn't get killed, because remember, back in the 80s, black people usually were the first ones to go. And this film, of course, wasn't in the 80s, the H20. It was 20 years later.
Right.
You know, it was 1998. But I think that was a great finish to the whole Halloween franchise. And it should have ended there. But no, it continued. And then even Rob Zombie made his version of a more realistic version of Michael Myers, which was a great film in itself. Mm-hmm. But that was another one of the films that I think distinguished the 80s horror genre and just made it stand out.
How about, I didn't think that they allowed LL to lick his lips enough. In
well, at least they didn't let him take his shirt off.
Yeah, he should have taken his shirt off and licked his lips a little bit more. You know, maybe that would have warded off the evil spirits and the demon, you know? You never know, bro.
Yeah, but to make some people happy, they had him read sexual poetry. Do you remember that movie? There's a part where he's reading sexual poetry to his girlfriend over the phone.
She took off her clothes, revealing her satiny, soft femininity. And Lawrence looked at her with lust in his eyes and said, I want to invade every part of your being. I want to tantalize myself with your sweet nectar.
He plays the part of a security guard at the private school.
The guy is just oozing sexuality, no matter what he does. LL Cool J, baby.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Some other honorable mentions. 1985 produced a movie called Fright Night from Tom Holland. And that was a movie about vampires. And it also produced a cult flick that today has a cult following, and that is The Lost Boys, which is also a movie about vampires, young vampires, I should say.
Yes. I was just going to mention that movie also. Oddly enough, they look like a bunch of young Changs. Those I would have hung out with those cats.
You know what? You probably would have.
Oh yeah, I would have had a hell of a time. There would have been nothing that I wouldn't have sunk my teeth into.
That's right. Now there was
I would have sucked the life.
Okay. There was one film in 1980 that was kind of creepy. Even the remakes are very creepy. But this was a movie that had to do with a natural phenomena that came ashore and people started just dying. And that was the movie called The Fog.
I remember that movie and I thought, wow, this movie is lame.
I did.
What are you going to do? How about Pumpkinhead?
You know, I did get to see that, but it was now that I was an adult, and I wasn't impressed with Pumpkinhead. I preferred much more from 1982, The Slumber Party Massacre, if you know what I mean. It was a slasher film, but the poster was nice, and so was the movie. We've got a real treat because when we come back, we've got a time where you get to express your scary stories either from back in the 80s or from today, or just something creepy that's happened to you. So we've got that coming up next.
We've got a double shot coming up on this Halloween extravaganza. I've got something from Dio and Ozzy coming your way. Let's kick it off with Ozzy off the Diary of a Madman album. You are listening to Back to the 80s Radio with Toscano and Chang. Welcome back to Back to the 80s Radio on our Halloween extravaganza. That was the Ozman with Diary of a Madman, followed up by the late, great Ronnie James Dio with The Last in Line. Ho-ho! We have opened the doors and passed out treats. So we've got more scary tales. We've got more fairy tales. And we've got more Toscano and Chang Madness.
All right, if you're just joining us, we are having our pre-Halloween extravaganza here on Back to the 80s Radio. A few of you guys are calling in right now. So Let's go directly to the phone lines here at Back to the 80s and hear your scary stories. Stephen, I know that you have something Halloween-related with an 80s kind of twist to it and a band. What happened?
Well, Cy Kernan, who's the lead singer of a great band called The Fix, told me that while they were shooting one of their music videos in this old castle, I believe, he turned around and he actually saw an apparition of some kind, a ghost of some kind, just sort of sent chills up his spine. So that's one that actually happened.
And now, did this by any chance get recorded onto video?
No, it did not. It was not when the camera was rolling. You never know when that type of thing will pop up. I mean, every Halloween, we always look forward to Thriller. So I always take a look at that one too. So hopefully, you know, people will take a look at Thriller one more time and check out our John Landis interview in the music video Time Machine magazine.
We'd love to. Stephen, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
From Southern California, we have Lindy on the line. Lindy, you've got a scary and spooky story from the 80s. What do you got?
Well, this is actually scarier for kids than for me. My mother and I used to terrify children when I was a teenager, and she was totally into it. So this is what we would do to the neighborhood kids. I grew up in Massachusetts, and in the fall, we always had lots of apples. So what we would do is we would take the red apples, polish them really, really shiny. Because remember, Snow White took a bite of a red apple and fell into a coma?
Sure.
So you could not do this nowadays. But my mother would dress up as that evil witch, and she'd open the door and cackle, and she'd have these red apples in her hand, and she'd do the, oh, my pretties, please take a bite of my apple and see if you'll live. You know, the neighborhood parents thought it was fabulous, and the kids would be all freaked out, but they'd take the apples, you know, and they'd go off. Now, that wasn't the end of it, however, because we lived in the woods, and we had a long driveway. I was hiding in the bushes along the driveway in dark clothes with a nylon stocking pulled over my face.
Nice.
So as these little terrified children were running down the driveway, I would jump out and scream at them. And I swear we made kids pee their pants.
Well,
it was so much
fun. You got me peeing my pants now, and I'm here in a studio. That is creepy. Look, first of all, you lived in Massachusetts, and we know that place has a lot of history.
Secondly, oh, yes, little Salem.
Yeah, and secondly, you lived in the woods. And then, no, I mean, you have a recipe for another movie there.
And I'm one of those people, I don't like getting scared, but I love terrifying people. I do that at my front door now with the neighborhood kids. I scare kids as much as I can. I dress up in a costume and hold really, really still usually with a clown mask, because that's the worst. And I hold really, really still, holding the bowl of candy. And of course, the little kids walk up to grab the candy, and then I jump at them, and they scream and run. Their parents think it's wonderful.
Holy smokes. Well, anyway, yeah. That's a fantastic story, Lindy. Thank you for sharing your story here on Back to the 80s Radio.
You're welcome.
All right, this is Back to the 80s. We got Ricky from Norwalk. Ricky, what's your scary story for tonight?
I have a pretty funny story. Over here in Norwalk, we used to always have haunted houses in people's front yards. We would go to those. We went in one time. It was me and my girlfriend. We went in, and I must have been a teenager. Came at me with a chainsaw with a clown mask.
What, like a real chainsaw?
Bro, you know how we do out here. Out here in Norwalk, we didn't care back in the day. Yeah, it was on, and the dude came at me. I'm like, oh, hell no. I just straight up clocked him and knocked him out. I was like, oh, shit. We better get the hell out of here.
Wait a second. So you knocked out a person with a prop who was just doing their job, and you just knocked him out?
I'm not going to say it was their job. It was their house. It was a personal haunted house. But yeah, he came at me, and I'm thinking, okay, this is like a real chainsaw. Like, and I don't like people. I have a legit fear of people with evil, with like masks. I don't know why. Came at my girlfriend, actually, and that's what made me mad. So I just cold clocked him. I was like, oh my god, that just happened. I was a teenager, so I was just like up and ran out, you know, like, oh my god, what just happened? But scary wise, you'd be surprised, but I'm kind of scared of knives. I hate knives. And Scream was a big one for me. And we actually did have a scary movie night one night, and we were watching Scream. I swear to you, I was freaking out the entire night. And then for like weeks on end, I was having terrors, nightmares. It was freaking nuts.
Crazy. All right, Ricky. Well, thanks for the story. We'll check back next Halloween.
Sounds good, man. Happy Halloween, brother.
We got one of our homies from Arizona calling in Mr. T. Tosh. Please tickle the ears of the weary. Tell us.
This story actually takes place in the 80s. I think it was 1988. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of blood. So it's Halloween 1988. Me, my friend Gordy, and Roya, we're going to go to this party up on Camelback Mountain. Highfalutin shit. You know, big place. They spend tens of thousands of dollars on decorations alone, which I think everybody does these days, pretty much.
Yeah.
Back then, it was a lot of money. So we're going up to this big party, you know, open bar, supposed to be a band. Everything's perfect for the night. So my friend Gordy goes out to get cleaned up. He's going to get into his mummy costume. I'm going as the Wolfman. My friend Roy gives her roommate and her car keys so Anne can go to another party. I'm getting ready, getting in the costume. She gets in the costume. She's doing her makeup. She did my makeup. We're ready to go, except she doesn't have her house key because that's on her car keys, which she gave to her roommate Anne. Okay, well, we probably should lock the door. I mean, it's not we're in Scottsdale. It's not like a high burglary right there anyway. But she's like, oh, I know. We can lock the door and we'll go out through Anne's window. I'm like, okay, sounds fine. We go into Anne's room. She climbs out the window, and there's like one of those iron rod gates to like, you know, prevent criminal activities, I guess. We have to climb over this thing. She climbs over first, no problem. I climb over. One of the bolts holding this thing slips out. The gate comes crashing down, and I come crashing down on top of it.
Oh.
She's laughing. You know, she's seen what has just happened. So
sounds like a bloody mess.
I get up, yeah, and there's blood gushing out of my thigh, man. I'm like, oh my God, this could be really, really bad. So my friend Roya sees the blood gushing out, you know, while she's laughing, and then she starts crying. And I'm like, okay, this isn't good, because one of us has to drive, and it can't be me right now. So I calm her down. She drives me to the hospital, and we spend Halloween in the emergency room with me getting my leg stitched up.
Oof, how many stitches?
I don't know. But, you know, it's good. It didn't hit the femoral artery, which could have been deadly. And it didn't hit the family jewels, which could have been, you know, tragic.
Oh, man.
As well.
Franken balls is terrible.
So my friend Gordy, you know, calls up the next day and says, you know, what happened to you guys? Where were you? You know, this is the day before cell phones, kids. So he calls me up the next day, says, where were you? I'm like, I tell him what happened, you know, could have died, spent the night at the hospital. Lots of fun. And he says to me, in a, like a sad voice, I had to spend Halloween all alone.
Like,
man. Man, Gordy gets the dick award.
That was Gordy, that was his complaint, huh?
Yeah, he was a bit whiny about it. Yeah, he's still kind of that way.
we really appreciate the story, and we're glad that the leg's okay, that you're okay.
Thanks, guys. You guys have a safe and a happy Halloween.
Hey, you do the same. Yeah. And keep it scary over there.
Yeah, keep it scary. We have the lovely Dania from Turlock, California, and she's going to give all you little boos and hoos a little fright. Dee, tell us your scary story.
Well, my scary story. This is something that really takes me back, because in my humble little corner of the world, we have these gorgeous mountain ranges, the Saratoga Mountains. And when I was a teenager, we used to love to drive up into the mountains. And you always hear about the myths about the mountains. So on Halloween night, back in my high school years, we were driving, me and a couple of friends were driving up in the Saratoga Mountains. And as we were driving through, of course, telling really scary stories, as we were driving back down the mountainside, I kid you not, there was a woman that was walking on the side of the road, and she had on no clothes. And she was just staring forward, and she was just walking. And it scared the you-know-what out of all of us. Imagine, we're just a bunch of teenage girls giggling and just laughing it up, and then we see this woman, and she looks like she has this really scary look on her face, and we freaked out. We just hit the gas, and we just got the heck out of there. And so,
were you using cannabis?
No, oddly enough. Oddly enough, we were not. So we got to rule that out automatically. But we were right so on. Frightened. By the time we got down the mountain, and we went to the police and we said our story, they didn't believe us. They, of course, they're like, whatever, teenagers, you know, stop smoking it or start tearing it, right? It wasn't one of those issues, though. But they didn't believe us. They did not. But when we went back to school that next week, we had heard the myth of course, in the mountains, you know, you have different resorts and stuff like that. But there was actually a hospital, a mental asylum, if you will, that was back in the day. And actually, that is true. There is a hospital up in the Saratoga Mountains. That is very true. And there was a mental health ward. That's very true as well. But the story is there was a woman that had escaped from the mental facility, and they had never seen her since. Now, of course, this was a woman that looked very young, so the story was very old. But we really freaked out when we heard that, because there really was some truth to part of that fable. So whether we saw a spirit or whether we just saw somebody who smoked a little too much that night, that's the scary story, because that woman looked just as real. I mean, if we had actually stopped, we might have really found out. But we were just so freaked out, we just kept going.
Wow. That's crazy. I probably would have picked her up and tried to hit on
her. You know, I think I saw a naked man as well that very night.
Oh, you but dirty
that,
boy.
But that was just a Chang. Anyway, Dania, thanks for calling back to the 80s with your story.
Oh, I am just so appreciative of being able to do it. Yay! Back to the 80s.
Yeah, happy cool. Halloween, Dania. And remember, don't pass out any bad candy or popcorn. Those are bunk treats.
And then remember, always, hit it, don't hold it.
Oh!
I am doing that as we speak.
Next up, we got Daryl from Fountain Valley, California. Daryl, thanks for being on Back to the 80s Radio. What's your scary story for tonight?
Oh, yeah, thanks for having me on, brother. So I was living in this apartment with one of my friends a few years back, and I got home from work. I was real tired. I ended up going to bed maybe around 5 p.m. As I fall asleep, I wake up, and I'm just staring at my dresser. And right next to the dresser is my door. I see my door start to open slowly. And I'm staring at it. I'm thinking maybe it's the wind or something. And then I see this guy walk through.
What?
Big, tall, white guy. White shirt, suspenders, black pants, big boots. And he's creeping in my room. And I try to get up. And I can't move. I try to scream. I can't scream. And I'm watching him. And he's slowly walking towards my bed.
Oh.
And this whole time I'm panicking. The only thing I can move is my eyes. And as he walks around my bed, he starts to crawl on it. And I feel the pressure of the bed. I start leaning to one side, and he's getting closer. I'm getting more scared. And finally, he ends up on top of me with his hands on my chest. And I'm feeling that pressure and everything. I'm trying to scream. My roommate's in the other room. Nothing's happening. About 2 minutes later, I finally get to scream. As soon as I scream, he's gone.
Wow.
Whoa.
I get up. I grab my mattress and I drag it into the living room. And I slept there for about 2 weeks. Because I did not want to go back in my room after that. I told my roommate about it. He thought I was crazy. But I vividly remember it. I seen the guy walk in. I know exactly what he looked like. And to this day, I have no idea what it was. And I wasn't sleeping. I was awake. My eyes were wide open. That was the only thing I could move.
You had an apparition and kind of like the movie The Entity, man. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it is. And I'm not a disbeliever of spirits and ghosts. So I don't know. It freaked me out for a good couple months.
Now you see, Daryl, there you went ahead and did it. And now I'm creeped out so much. And now I have to sleep like in the living room with the TV turned on. Gosh dang it.
There you go, brother. Nightlight and a heavy blanket will save you.
Hey, we appreciate the story and your time, Daryl. Thanks for coming on Back to the 80s Radio.
No worries, brother. Thank you.
You're listening to Back to the 80s.
All right. We loved getting the phone calls from you guys that love the 80s and love Halloween. And now it's time to take a little break. But as we do, let's go out in style. This is Men at Work. Who Can It Be Now? Followed by Houdini and the Freaks Come Out at Night.
Hey, Zeke. Man. Hey, Rusty. You know what, man? It's a good thing it's a Friday night tonight, man. I thought, you know, we'd close the shop early, come down over here over, you know, at the old tavern, you know, Gypsy Mama's Tavern, slice off a couple of shots, because I promised Jasper we'd be rolling down to his haunted house up the street. Yeah, it's only a $5 fare. I mean, it's helping the kids.
I don't know about going to no haunted house right now. I just ate a little while ago. I had me some pigskins, and now you want to take me. And then, plus, you know I'm not too good when I've had too much to drink. And if there's a lot of movement, you know what? I don't make myself responsible, whatever happens there.
Now, Zeke, let me tell you, man, I didn't know that on a Friday night I'd be hanging around the alley with a couple of pussycats. Now, come on, you get a hold of yourself and pull yourself out of your own britches. It's, for God's sake, it's pretend. It's Jasper. Well, Jasper's haunted house.
You know, a long time ago, I got to tell you a story real quick, but right quick before I forget, you know, you tell me that it's all fake. But I'm going to tell you something. I heard back in the day in the 70s in Long Beach, California, there was a funhouse over there, and there was like a real serial killer killing people. So you never know, Rusty. I just had me a burrito that my housekeeper Guadalupe made me, and as I went inside the house, and I was like starving. And I said, Guadalupe, what for? She just told me silencio.
I love that silencio. It just adds so much flavor to your tacos and your burritos. Anyway, see, you might as well wear your sister's panties if you're afraid to go down to Jasper's home. Hold on 1 minute. Hey, here, I, as a matter of fact, I got a pair of your sister's low-cut panties right here. My leather
jacket.
I took them off with my teeth, if you don't mind. Here, slip these on if you're going to be a girly man.
Get your gosh dang hands out of me. Get those underwear out of my face, Rusty.
Hey, hurry up, man. It's almost 9 o'clock.
All right, let's go. Hurry. Let's go. Wait,
you
hold
go
on.
Ahead and drink up that Southern Comfort. I've got me a couple of shots of my Jimmy Beam. I've got to finish up.
Hey, bartender. Bartender, give me a... I'll take my cup to go. Just put it in my Dixie cup inside of another cup. Give me 4 or 5 shots in one. All right, appreciate that.
Hey, Roscoe, get a load on. We're going to, Roscoe, you going down to Jasper's? Well, you can get Lucy Sue to hold the bar, smoke us a doobie or something.
What?
It's going to be a hell of a scare time.
Rusty.
Look at this guy right here shaking it. I told him to put his sister's panties on. He's afraid to go to a little old kid.
You never know. You never know when you find, might find yourself a real killer. But let's go. You know what? I'm taking my... I'm going to pack heat.
Don't worry about it, buddy. I've got my 45, and it's creased between my butt cheeks, and it's sliding out with Vaseline lubricant. I'll pull it. I'll shoot you. I'm Clint Eastwood tonight, you some bitches. Hoots and hollers. Anybody want to jump out of me to get goddamn
Rusty.
Werewolf costume? I'm going to put some lead in your goddamn tail, I'll tell you.
All right. Well, let's get a move on.
Hey, hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on.
What you got?
I got my flask. I got a flask. I got a little bit of Jack Daniels. You want to hit?
Pour it in my Dixie cup, Rusty. Come on.
Here you go. Have a shot. Get some courage. You know how you sissy boys, you know, your sister's got a lot of courage. You
gosh dang, Rusty, stop talking about my sister. I know you and her, that she's been your fantasy since we were kids, and you ain't never had her. So stop lying.
You know, your sister's real smart. She counts up to 69 real fast. Yes, me and Zeke are here. $5 make you holler. That's right.
Here you go, Jasper. Hey, Jasper. If I get killed here tonight, I'm coming back for you, and I'm going to put some lead in your pocket.
Hey, take it easy. Jasper let us break our cups here.
All right. Wait.
Look at this. It looks pretty scary. A lot of black bags hanging.
I don't know about you, Rusty.
Some
type
of fog machine. That's pretty scary. Look at that.
I don't like this place, Rusty.
This feels real. Hey, Jasper, are these what you call props?
Props.
You know, just fake novelty.
Is that what that means?
Scenery.
I don't know, Rusty.
Scenery,
this looks pretty real
ambience.
To me.
No, don't you know ambience? You know, scenery, the kind of stuff I put in the background when I'm making them dirty movies with your sister.
Don't you stop. You know, I brought my commando knife. I'm gonna cut your tongue out.
Well, son of a gun, you got the Frankenstein over there.
Oh,
Frankenstein.
Scared the living bejesus out of me.
Christ, Zeke.
I gotta get me another drink. Hold on.
Man, that,
pour some in here. Pour some in here right now.
Zeke. You know,
give me that gosh dang flask.
Man. I don't like that scary, ghoulish, fat Elvis figure. That scares the hell out of me. If it comes near me, I'm going to put some lead in it.
There's a being, Rusty, over there. There's a tall man with no face.
Man.
And real long arms and the long legs. It's like a Slender Man.
Oh, my God. Look at that. He's one of them little people. Look it. He's one of them tiny people.
I see.
The size of children. He scares the hell out of me. I swear to God, he'll stab me in the knee.
I see that. He was hiding behind the light, so he seemed a lot better. I tell you what, let's get out of here because I can't take this stuff. I'm going to be having nightmares.
You know, we're coming right to the exit. Yeah, it wasn't that bad. Holy Jesus. Who's sadistic idea is it to dress up like goddamn John Wayne Gacy looking like Benny Hill? I'm gonna pull fire on that son of a bitch.
Hold it. Don't shoot nobody. You're gonna go to jail. No, don't put lead. You're gonna shoot somebody. You're gonna go to jail, Rusty.
That's a bad joke. Jasper! I'm gonna just get the hell out of here.
Let's get the hell out of here, boy.
Let's get the hell out of here. You just rip right through that goddamn trash bag.
Jasper, you owe me $5, Jasper.
You sick, sadistic son of a bitch, Jasper. I'll get you on poker night.
I know I didn't. Stop pulling up. Jasper, shut up. I know I didn't pay you, but it's like I paid you. You owe me money.
Don't you handle me, Rufus. Your goddamn hands off of me. John Wayne Gacy prop goddamn fell short.
I gotta tell you, Rusty, this is the same reason, gosh dang reason I don't like Halloween. Because I'm gonna have nightmares for weeks.
I'm telling you, son of a bitch. Dressed up like Fat Jeffrey Dahmer at the door. I should have known. Goddamn Jasper. You know what, man? Let's get back to the bar and listen to those goddamn idiots that back to the 80s, Italian and Mexican, Chinese, whatever the hell he is.
I think so,
I'll
too.
I'll buy you another shot of some Southern, bud.
Give me the bottle. I'm going to need it, Rusty.
Stop wetting your pants.
I can't. I got no control over my bowels right now. I'm too scared. Holy hell. Hot danger. What? Why are you laughing at me? It's not a joke. It's a personal issue. I seek therapy sometimes. Gosh dang, Rusty. All you know how to do is talk about my sister.
You peed all over your sister's underwear. She ain't going to be able to wear those tonight. She gave me those almost like a scratch and sniff.
Well, here, scratch and now sniff.
Come on, you old yard dog with one eye. Let's go get some drinks. Still early. Maybe we'll go down to the strip club and offer Violets and Candace some of our services.
I'll strip down to my knees.
Hey, some of you remember the 80s vibe, right? Well, it lives loud and proud on Back to the 80s with my pals Toscano and Chang.
I'm Freddy Krueger, and you're invited to my special get-together. Beware, you may never leave. Dial this number now. I've got some grisly details for you. And if you're one of my lucky callers selected at random, you'll talk to me live while you're awake and safe. So dial this number now if you dare. Talk to me live. Freddy Krueger is waiting just for you.
$2 for the first minute, 35 cents each additional minute.
Now, back to good, wholesome, politically correct entertainment. Oops, wrong station. Now, back to the 80s with Toscano and Chang.
Welcome back to Back to the 80s Radio, Toscano and Chang. Chang here. If you want to hit us on our social media pages, tell us a scary story, something eerie or scary that happened to you, or maybe it's your birthday on Halloween. You know, people take that for granted that somewhere somebody was born on Halloween. So they were a trick and a treat for some parents.
It is by far so different today, even for trick-or-treaters. It's okay idea to take your kids to the mall, but because, you know, parents feel unsafe for their kids, they take their kids to a local park where there's about 20, 30 cars with their trunks open, and they do trick-or-treating that way. Now, doesn't that take away a little bit of the fun, do you think?
It takes away, I think, the element of good old Americana, Halloween, neighborhood, door-to-door. But it does take away that kind of scary, eerie feeling that Halloween gives you. And remember, the true meaning of Halloween is, you know, the march and the celebration of the souls that have gone onto the other world. But it does take away, because people like to decorate and make your house kind of scary outside.
Right.
Some people have their make-do haunted houses out of their garage or halfway through their house or their porch or their front yard, their backyard. So, yes, it does take away from that nostalgic feeling and sense of Halloween that, you know, we all grew up in the 80s and before having and holding his memories. But also, you know, at times when you did get into the age where you have a lot of sick F's out there, and have to kind of keep somewhat of the regiment of the holiday, and you're going to try to look for some safer environment for your children, but still give them the same essence of Halloween, trick-or-treat, dressing up, you know, going spot to spot.
It's gotten more dangerous for regular, like, if I had little kids today, I don't think I'd let them go with their friends. You know, like before in the 80s, we would get to go trick-or-treating by ourselves. You can't do that anymore because,
no,
hey, we're such a society that's so supposedly updated and technologically advanced and so much better and so evolved, that now it's even worse because now we got a bunch more freaks out there in homes. Now it's everybody's out in the open doing whatever they want and letting people know, you know?
Again, bro, I was a young dad back in the 80s, and I was taking my three girls out trick-or-treating.
Yeah.
And even back then, you know, I was not blind to the fact that we have a lot of sick, degenerate sons of bitches out there.
Sure, sure.
That want to cause sexual harm or bodily harm to a child. I was well aware of that. There was abductions out there. So even in the 80s,
it was not as carefree as it was probably in the 70s when I was a kid, but it was still unsafe. But back in the 80s, I did, me and the wife did take our girls out there, you know.
One of my friend's house, they didn't live in a nice, nice neighborhood. It was decent. They were older homes. But one of their older neighbors, it was a couple, and they it was grandparents. And I don't know why they did this, but they used to hand out Happy Meals from McDonald's to every child. And they'd give the Happy Meal to the parent. And if they didn't take a parent, they couldn't have a Happy Meal.
Wow,
And I used to get my Happy Meals, and it was fantastic. And obviously, they were very safe. They didn't do anything, never heard of anything bad.
But
that went to show you how safe. I mean, would you ever take a Happy Meal from a stranger now?
No.
Hell no.
No. I have to tell you this. My most favorite Halloween event of all times is the costume party somebody's house.
Yes, those were great parties. They used to bob for apples. They used to have great DJ music. And just, everybody who went there.
Scampy costumes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Pool parties. Oh, Halloween parties.
Were the greatest.
Kind of like when you're younger, Halloween party. You can bring out your identity or be somebody else in a costume.
You know, that's normally not. You know, what you just said is so true, brother.
It's cool.
Because you would wait for that one day of the year to be somebody else, and you would literally act like somebody else. If you were, if you were a quiet person that day and that you got to go to that party and you dressed as somebody else, it's like it was okay to be who you really were inside.
I mean, that's the whole point of wearing a costume. You want to pretend to be somebody that you're not. And on that note, you are listening to Back to the 80s Radio, and we've got another double shot. And here's something from the 80s by none other than Wasp. I Want to Be Somebody. We're going to hit you right back after this twofer. Don't you go nowhere. I've got candy. Welcome back to the 80s on a Halloween extravaganza. You were listening to some Judas Priest and Wasp, and Toscano and Chang tonight are going to dive into something a little bit scary. Yes, Toscano and I will be taking selfies in assless chaps.
and autographing them.
Autographing them.
On the cheeks.
At the cheek part.
Being that we, during Halloween, we talk about costumes and just all the good times and the weird times that we went through back in the 80s. One of the cool things was music. And there were a lot of great scary tunes back then brought to us by certain bands. And these bands many times wore costume themselves. So let's go and talk through some of the bands that wore these costumes from back in the 80s. You know, the band that I can think of that looked scarier without their makeup from the 70s. And in the 80s, they decided to take it off.
You're talking about Kiss.
I'm talking about Kiss.
Oh, none other. I mean, to this day, Gene Simmons has hair like Darth Vader.
Yes.
He should have kept his makeup on. Now, here's a band, rather an artist. King Diamond, back in the 80s, was a scary-looking cat. Alice Cooper, Twisted Sister. Who could forget Twisted Sister, Dee Snider?
Oh, but a great band.
Looking balls out. We had Queen. remember, with Radio Gaga. They all had a little bit of a costume.
They wore the tutus and stuff like that. And it, yeah.
You have Cyndi Lauper. Cyndi Lauper was dancing around in a fashion that was like, whoa, you're like a fairy princess, or like a circus wife, or an acid roll in the hay. You had Missing Persons. Who could forget Missing Persons?
Yeah.
You know, with Dale Bozzio, which I attribute her get up to where Madonna got her get up to do the Hershey's Kiss boob thing.
Oh, that's, you know, right, with the cups.
Falls into, yeah, dude. You know, and then you can even say Judas Priest is kind of got a Halloween feel, you know, with the leather, you know, the studs.
Back in the 80s when I was a kid, and I used to see some of the shirts for metal bands, they were kind of frightening for somebody who was never into, you know, hardcore metal. And
yeah, you probably, a band like Slayer probably scared the shit out of you.
Oh, yeah. Because
to where, like, Slayer was badass. Yeah,
because I would think, oh my gosh, it's, you know, it's gonna, they're going to call up Satan or something. And, you know, yeah, it was freaky. It was freaky. And then the first time I saw Iron Maiden, and then when they, everybody brought, you know, they were cheering for Eddie, and they brought Eddie, I was going, what the heck is this? This is scary.
Eddie was the ultimate, but, you know, you can also say Black Sabbath is a bit on the dark side and scary. You could kind of equate that, you know, with Halloween to a certain degree.
Especially with Ozzy and his creepy songs as well, you know. Ozzy had some really creepy songs.
You know, another band that comes to mind, Devo. That's another band that was quirky. They wore costumes, you know, with the triangles on their head. That was kind of a get-up. Men Without Hats.
But I was going to say, Men Without
Hats.
They had a
certain dress attire, you know, and then when you got a little tiny person that is dressed like that back in those days, that's as scary as the movie Leprechaun.
That's right.
You know, you got artists like David Bowie, you know, who was always reinventing himself. You could say a lot of his getup was theatrical, which could fall into, you know, the apparel of Halloween, costume changing. True.
Very true. Very true.
You also have Poison. They were putting some makeup on, getting dolled up, you know, and joining the ranks of Motley Crue, who also was wearing makeup, and they had, you know, the leather and the spikes, and they had their get up with the leather pants, which on another note, to any listeners out there, if you were unaware, go ahead and Google this. Mick Mars has announced that he's retiring from touring with Motley Crue.
Oh, wow.
Due to his health. But there's so many other bands and other artists, I think, that you could say have a little bit of Halloween. I mean, we have a band that was called Jekyll. That was a metal band. You know, I believe there was a song put out called Halloween. There's so many Guns N' Roses. I mean, Axl Rose, he was constantly changing.
Well,
himself.
You know what? The majority of performers and bands. Alice Cooper. Yeah, especially Alice Cooper. But I think the majority of performers, whether they be metal or not, they wore some kind of a costume. Both on their videos and on stage all the time.
Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson. And we'll talk about him Prince. In a little bit, but I just remembered Robert Smith from The Cure, and he continues to do so and kind of gives you the creeps. But let's talk a little bit about
Michael. My taint hurts.
Let's talk a little bit about Michael Jackson, because Michael Jackson, December 1983, came out with what I would call, and I think everybody else who's seen it would agree,
white skin.
The most hardcore video production in the history of music videos. It was a video production that in reality was like a mini movie. And for that time, when the song Thriller came out, and the video Thriller came out, we were blown away. We never expected a mini movie from that video. You know, we were used to 3-4-5 minute videos and it's done.
Right.
And this one starts off as a movie.
Yeah.
And it was just epic. I remember I was only 11 years old when this came out. Yeah, 1983.
Wow.
And so,
we're out again.
11 years old.
Yeah, 11 years old.
At 11, did you realize the chick in there was pretty cute? And
oh, yeah.
I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
You know, she is Sugar Ray Leonard's daughter.
Daughter, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget because I was actually watching that video late at night. I won't forget it. It was about 11 o'clock at night. And
did you rub one out to her?
No. Stop. And the scene where Michael Jackson starts turning into a werewolf.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And he tells her. And he turns around with those yellow eyes. Oh, my gosh. It was over. I think I saw his face turning into a werewolf for just months. And for 11 years old, that's really shocking. It was very creepy.
Yeah, you know what? I think I was more creeped out when Michael Jackson started looking like Rose McGowan than he did.
But that did not happen during that video. Didn't happen during that video. But you got to admit, Michael Jackson's Thriller was the greatest music video of all time. Okay.
I would say sure.
Here we go.
Wait,
you know what?
Listen to me. Wait.
You know what?
you
ladies and gentlemen of the jury, this is what I mean
by
the hater. And not only hater, but he dares to disagree with the greatest pop singer of all time.
Oh,
yes, continue,
man.
Mister. I hate everything that's not metal.
Man. You know what?
Here we go.
If Michael Jackson was alive right now, with the amount of brown nosing that you're doing, you could probably read his underwear inside out. Lord have mercy. Now, let me get back to my point.
Come on, Mr. Hater.
There is no hate. I was going to add to your comment. I wouldn't say greatest video. I would say greatest musical short. Because it bypasses and surpasses a video. It becomes its own musical, if I might say.
Okay. Yes. Thank you, Mr. Greek philosopher.
So please, upchuck. Upchuck your hate.
Something else.
You need to swallow your hate.
It becomes something more sublime and more...
Mystical,
in a sense.
I know you don't want to choke on your hate.
Oh, my gosh.
Like Bond Scott choked on his own vomit, which is sad. But please, the hate, put it in reverse.
Okay.
Because I was adding to your comment.
Okay, Mr. Greek philosopher Plato.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah.
Would you like a gyro?
Wow, yeah, okay. Well, our apologies here, back to the 80s, to everybody from Greece.
Possibly pastrami? You want pastrami?
The pronunciation of a gyro.
Want a Pepsi? I give you gyro.
I give you burger. I give you cheeseburger.
You come to my place, I give you the best burger, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, anyway.
You got a cigarette?
Let's move on. Let's move on.
Okay, please do.
Okay. So you were talking. So I'm telling you, the greatest music video of all time is Thriller. I'm not asking you. I'm literally telling you now.
Yes. Oh, I see.
See how I changed.
Yes. It automatically changed to where I am the caretaker of the program, and I proclaim Michael Jackson is the greatest artist, video maker of all time, and nothing used. You would have been a great wrestler.
Yeah.
It's all about me.
Along with the million dollar man, the billion dollar man, or whatever he was.
You would have been the tag team to Hulk Hogan. That's right, brother. Everything you say is right, brother. You want to go against our word, brother? We're brothers.
And you would have been the tag team partner of the Junkyard Dog.
I would have been the Macho Man.
No.
Let me tell you right now, your way is not the only way. I want to make sure that your musical likings is crushed into a little paper bag like I'm going to do to you, and then I'm going to step on you and throw you in the trash in the park.
All right. So speaking of
that was pretty
the greatest video of all time.
Okay.
Speaking of the greatest video of all time.
Wow. Okay. Please.
Why don't we?
I hope you. I hear the applause now. Settle down.
Yeah, there it
You've
is.
Got
there
snack.
It is.
Got snacks and crackers.
Here, back to the 80s radio, I present to you Michael Jackson's Thriller. That was the one and only Michael Jackson with Thriller. Well, Chang, we've experienced the 80s horror with movies. We've experienced the 80s horror with performers and their costumes. But what about if I dared to ask you, was there anything that ever happened to you during the 80s that was scary? On a serious note, did you ever see, hear, or experience anything paranormal? A little while ago when we talked to Daryl from Fountain Valley, he mentioned something extremely frightening. Has something like that ever happened to you that you can say, yeah, that was the scariest moment of the 80s?
There's been three occasions throughout my Changlyhood that have freaked me out and freaked my family members out. The first one was the house I grew up with in Southside Montebello. We used to hear the hallway floor creak because it was a wooden floor. Right. So every now and then there's a certain spot that would creak, but it would only do this when someone would walk through it.
Right.
You know, or the cat. So we would hear this quite a bit. Then we came to find out that there was a man that died in the master bedroom, which was my parents' house.
Ooh.
And he died in that hallway right past the heater, the wall heater of this house. And that's where they found him dead. So it's eerie because that's where we always heard the floor creak, and always at a certain time at night.
Right.
There was
right.
also times one kitchen cabinet would always open. Now, my dad fixed the hinges and put one of those little mechanisms back there, you know, to keep it closed. It would always open, and whatever was on the very top shelf in the cabinet would always fall to the floor, no matter what. So we grew up tripping out on that.
Yeah, you lived in a poltergeist house.
Yeah, kind of. There was another time when I was working for the city of Montebello as the painter maintenance man. There's a place that's called the Sanchez Adobe Mansion. And that's in Montebello.
Yes,
now that is
that
one
place,
of the
yeah.
first mansions, you know, that was brought up by the Spaniards. History really quick. A lot of Native American ancestor people lived there and were enslaved. So the property, of course, had burial grounds to Indians and Spaniards there alike. I was there working one day, and it was just me. I opened up the building. And I had to go in, and I was doing some painting and some repairing. And I left my equipment in one area of this building. When I came back, my equipment was in another room. Now, all the time that I used to work here, I used to light in sage, because the caretaker, John, used to tell me that it was haunted by spirits, good and bad. So whenever I was there, to burn sage. This particular day when I went to lunch, I didn't burn sage that day. And like I say, my materials were in another room. And the rest of that day, it kept feeling like somebody was running by me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's
I would turn
a,
to the
that's
side.
That's a horrible feeling, man.
I would turn quickly and see a shadow and feel this gasp of cold wind. You know, a door started closing.
Yeah.
So needless to say, I got the hell out of there that one particular day. And I told John later, when I talked to him about what was up. And then after that, anytime I had to work there, he was there. And he would burn sage. He would do this Native American prayer with me. And he would put this type of necklace around me, and I would work on the building with this, and nothing ever happened. Another time, we were having weather issues. Rain was going to come in the same building. We had got a phone call around 4:30 on a Friday that the shutter to the very top of this building, Sanchez Adobe, was banging back and forth, like somebody got up there and tried to break in. So me and my partner Carlin, who was the electrician, the other maintenance man, we rolled out, checked it out, went up on an extension ladder, checked it out, and we saw that the shutter was broken, but it wasn't kicked in from the outside, it was kicked in from the inside.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Now, this building's locked up. Nobody's going to get in the inside and then get to a padlocked door, sure, in the attic,
sure,
and kick the door out. So, you know, we went up and we checked it out. The light didn't work, which makes it even more eerie. We're checking out the shutter, and it looked like literally something with great force,
yeah,
kicked the shit out of this thing because the wood was split. So at the time we were making the repair, we would prop the door open and the door would close. The thing propping the door was moved.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? And it became like a very hot wind in there. Again, needless to say, we got the door fixed. We got the hell out of there. So that was something that was always a trip to me. Another,
yeah,
case, me and the wife were living in our house in Whittier at the time. We lived in this house, and an elderly lady passed away there in the bedroom, the master bedroom. Another individual had passed away in one of the other, the middle bedroom of the same house several years prior. So when we took over ownership of the house, we weren't aware of this until somebody, you know, told us. Our youngest daughter, Jennifer, had the middle bedroom, and the other two sisters had the other two bedrooms down the hall to the left. And we would hear Jennifer talking to somebody, and we would go in there and ask her who she was talking to, and she said her invisible friend. It was an older lady, but jeez, she's nice. So we would trip out on that, you know what I mean? And then in the master bedroom, me and my wife, our bedroom was kind of a dark, eerie spirit. And this spirit used to kick back in the attached indoor patio that we had. And I made it into a bar. Well, the thing on this thing, at certain times of the day or night, it would shadow and get really dark in this whole corner of the bedroom and a portion of this indoor patio, especially at night. And me and my wife would swear that we would hear somebody mentioned something or say something, we, you know, something abrupt,
right,
we would hear. And then at night our bedroom would get really dark,
yeah,
and get really cold. So we knew what this was, you know. We had sage burn. My mother-in-law went down there and had a priest come in there and throw in some holy water, you know, the whole nine yards, try to get this thing gone.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't go away. I remember one time my wife and my kids were gone, and I was painting the living room, and the door slammed, and it was like, I don't have a cat in the house. I don't have no idea why the door slammed.
Right.
So I went and I opened up the master bedroom, and it slammed again right when I turned around. So I turned around and yelled at this, what I thought was an entity.
Yeah.
Disappeared for a little while. Then one night I was watching the Laker game, and we had the fire on in the fireplace, and my wife was in the kitchen. I heard my wife call my name in a very forceful voice. So I replied. At the same time, she replied to me because she thought I yelled at her.
Right, right.
We heard a very deep voice.
Yeah.
But it was neither one of us. Then the fire went out and we couldn't get it lit.
Really?
Scarier than crap, yeah, bro.
Well, those heck are yeah, three, man.
Those are some occasions, bro.
Oh, man.
Where I question.
See, now you did
there
it.
There is the another two. World beyond.
This is the Halloween program for Back to the 80s Radio. Reminders, please leave us a review wherever you listen to us on, and don't forget to put us on your phone wherever you go, wherever you are. You can take Toscano and Chang and Back to the 80s Radio with you, as well as K-Hits 92.5. Go over to our Facebook page and you can check out all our posts, and if you need some links to either K-Hits 92.5 or link to our show, it's always going to be there. Remember that our show is on every single Friday starting at 4 p.m. And it runs throughout the weekend on K-Hits 92.5.
Let's go ahead and take our fears out with some music. Another double shot right here from Back to the 80s Radio. And we are going to take it to your ears with a little bit of Slayer. And yes, Twisted Sister right here with You Can't Kill Rock and Roll Because You Cannot Kill Back to the 80s Radio. Toscano and Chang on a Halloween extravaganza. Yes, we started that with some Twisted Sister, Dee Snider and the boys from the East Coast laying it down with No, You Cannot Kill Rock and Roll. And yes, Los Angeles' own Slayer out of Southgate, Paramount area with The South of Heaven, which I know scared the crap out of a lot of little cats and kitties out there, especially cats that wore nickels in their penny loafers, as my partner in crime Toscano did back in the 80s.
Toscano, to that little jab at me.
It's getting to that time to where the light on the porch has to go out. We're done giving out candy and treats.
We are done.
So on behalf of myself, I want to wish all of you a very safe holiday. Remember, you matter. Stay lifted and gifted. Happy Halloween, trick or treat. Remember to be fantastic. I bid you all an adios, sayonara, arrivederci, hasta mañana, hasta la vista. And to all my homies from everybody on Walk in Life, orale.
We'd like to thank you for joining us. Have a great Halloween. Have a great weekend. Whatever you do and wherever you go, don't forget to share not only the show, but introduce the 80s to a whole new generation. Wishing you a happy weekend. This is Oingo Boingo and Dead Man's Party on the one and only Back to the 80s Radio.